Welcome to Credit Union Conversations Podcast with your host, Mark Ritter, a forward-thinking CEO who excels in helping credit unions, small businesses, and real estate investors succeed. Join Mark as he explores current trends, interviews industry experts, and get fresh insights on optimizing your operations and delivering the best possible services to credit union members.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Ritter, your host of Credit Union Conversations and the CEO of MBFS, a business lending CUSO helping over 100 credit unions nationwide make life a little bit better for their small business members. And with today's episode, I'm going off the grid a little bit from some of our normal conversations because I really wanted to do a deep dive into what our members are being told on the back end and how we can understand our members and serve them a little bit better, and also how we can make life a little bit easier for the people that our small business members work with. So that being said, joining me today is Nolan Bradbury of Bradfield Accounting. Nolan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think this will really help those in my industry look under the covers on what you're up to and how you work with small businesses. And maybe they can even connect some of their business members with you when we're done. So,
yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great. So tell our audience a little bit of yourself, your background, and what you're up to today.
Yeah. So I am a CPA. And so like a lot of CPAs, I started out in public accounting. I started one of the now big four on the audit side. And also like a lot of CPAs who do that, I moved to the private sector after a few years. I went to work for a company that was eyeing to go public. And so while I was there, I helped them with the IPO process and ultimately oversaw their SEC reporting once they did become public. But ultimately, that kind of left me feeling a little unfulfilled, to be honest. So I've been working with small businesses over the last 12 or so years to help them sort of improve their profitability and cash flow so they can accomplish the things they want to pursue personally.
Yeah, I really enjoy it from working on my side, and you probably find it a little bit more entertaining and engaging.
Yeah.
So what type of services do you provide with your firm today?
Yeah, so, you know, the way most people find us is that they're looking for what we would call it more generically called bookkeeping support, which of course we offer. But I would say how we really help them and where we spend the bulk of our time and why clients sort of stay with us is that we help them translate the financial data they have into actual like improved decision making. So in other words, sort of helping them make data-driven decisions. And so if everything goes well, we hopefully improve the profitability and cash flow on the business side that we can then ultimately help them establish and run what we kind of refer to as a virtual family office on the personal side to help them sort of take the business success and translate it into personal successes.
Yeah, and I am internally grateful for people like yourself because as the lender, we have access to some of the same information and insight. But with the nature of our relationship with a small business, you know, I always say sometimes my job is, you know, I help you out, we give you money, and if you don't pay it back, we take all your stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So I try to walk that fine line of being somebody who can help a business.
Yeah.
But I'm not, if I step over the edge and give you some advice and it goes sideways,
yeah.
Then I usually have a team of attorneys knocking at my door.
Yeah, we don't want that.
So, you know, in today's world, it seems like you can't turn on a show. You can Google up personal financial advice. You can turn on every YouTube video. Anywhere you go, there's thousands of books. And in my personal life, I tend to run pretty debt averse, pretty debt free. And as I have young adult children and have tried to guide them, you know, don't run up your credit cards, don't buy outrageous cars, and, you know, have a savings account and do all those things, kind of the basics. And then I flip to a business side and say, well, debt can be good. What's your outlook on life when it comes to a business and they come to you and say, I'm thinking about borrowing money, I'm looking at a line of credit. You know, what is your side, the flip side of using a debt for at the business?
Yeah. To your point, there are a lot of sort of financial gurus that are very anti-debt. And I do understand that, although I would say I'm not one of those people, although, you know, debt, being smart about your debt is key. The way I talk to clients or customers or, you know, business owners about debt is it's a very cost-effective way to scale a business, and it does so without them having to give up control via equity to do so. The keys, though, that like I always try to help them really understand before they take that leap is, do you actually know what you're going to use the financing for? And have you done the analysis of that investment to make sure you will be able to repay it so that you don't end up in a worse situation, or, you know, losing things to cover it? I think where people tend to get themselves in trouble, credit cards sort of being their own sort of thing, but is they use debt to cover things that aren't really going to return any sort of value to them. And so when you're scaling and you're early in a business's life, it is important. You need access to capital because oftentimes you haven't gotten the organic revenue to do that on your own. So, I'm in favor of debt for a lot of small businesses, but the key is really knowing what you're going to use it for and then being wise about how you use it.
I could beat my head against the wall every time I see a business owner mismanage a line of credit. And so often we just like this debt should pay for itself. It should be self-liquidating and it should be making you money to do more to meet your business goal. But then it becomes, and the worst thing that I can do as a lender, I find, is to give them too little money. Because that's sometimes as bad as too much. So do you ever give people any advice on that line of credit that they, you know, because so many people say, I want a line of credit just to have.
So, you know, I do think there are times where if you can have a line of credit, it's good to have, right? Because
it, absolutely.
And I'm sure you probably agree with this. It's harder to get money when you need it. And it's a lot easier to get it when you don't need it, right? Because you're usually in a better position. That's why you don't necessarily need it at that point in time. But I agree with you on that sentiment that sometimes too little is worse than too much, because it gives them just enough to spend and run that up, but not enough to actually accomplish the goals they need to with that money, if you will. I think lines of credit are great options for businesses, particularly where there's assets to collateralize those lines of credit. It's harder for like service providers, obviously, to acquire those just because there isn't as much to sort of back up that debt. But I think lines of credit or business loans are great options for small businesses because they allow you to reinvest in your business. And that's really what they should be for. They should be your reinvestment in the business. Not that this is exactly what you asked, but kind of going back a second, I unfortunately have seen a lot of businesses get themselves in trouble with the SBA loans or the EIDL money that came out because they didn't necessarily think of it as a loan that they were going to have to pay back. And they sort of spent it as though it was a windfall. And that has unfortunately gotten them in some very difficult positions now to try to get out of.
Well, while the interest rates are extremely attractive,
yes,
it was still debt.
Yes.
And if you did a distribution and bought yourself a second vacation home or put it in, but if you invested in your business and it's paying dividends now, great. But if it's dead money, whoa, look out.
Yes, 100%.
So, and flipping to a little bit, talking about lenders, I am the CEO of a small business lender. Lenders sometimes annoy me. We're very judgmental. We're very negative. We love to be with people during the good times and shun you during the bad times. There's good lenders, there's bad lenders, there's everything in between. You know, from your side, from your perspective, and I'd love to hear your perspective, love to hear you tell my audience about your thoughts on credit unions, big banks, community banks, non-people out there.
Yeah.
What's your advice these days into what people should be shopping for in a financial institution?
Yeah, that's a great question. you know, I think first off, I encourage my clients to have banking relationships at multiple banking institutions. One, I think it's good just to have multiple relationships. Different banks specialize in different things. And so there's no harm in having accounts for lines of credit or loans at different places. And I think it's good to have a mix of large national or international institutions, and as well as smaller local banks or credit unions, because they service different areas. And so wherever you're at, you know, one of them might be able to better serve you. You know, in terms of like how to shop for a lender, you know, I think a lot of it is kind of building off of what I said, which is what is the area of like, where do you operate? Who specializes in those types of things? If your business is a bit more unique or there's more nuance to it, working with a credit union can often be a great opportunity because the underwriting process is a bit more transparent. And I don't want to say lenient, but certainly there tends to be more flexibility on that side of the table when it comes to that. If you're trying to get a line of credit from Chase, and no knock on Chase, but if you're trying to do that, like you have no leverage or flexibility. Like it is their way, they're going to have their underwriting process, and that's it. And if you don't fit into their box, you're probably not going to get what you need. So part of it is understanding like who you're going to and who they service. I think beyond that, once you get past that, then it's about, do you actually connect with and resonate with the broker or the lender, like the person that you're actually going to be working with? Like, can you understand them? Are they explaining what you're signing up for in terms that are, you know, plain English and that are straightforward? Like, I think a lot of times, and I'm not saying that there's a lot of these, but people they start taking loans from people who are, I don't want to say predatory lenders, but they definitely are less concerned with whether or not you can pay it back. And I would say, I think that a lending relationship is always better if the person is in a position to always pay it back. Like it is longer term better, both for the business and the bank. It isn't just a one and done situation. You can renew that line of credit. Maybe it gets bigger. You can take a bigger loan. You can refer people to that lender. So I think part of it is also that, like, so if I'm a lender and I'm like, how can I bolster this relationship or how can I get more loans? I think I would look at it like, how are you engaging with this client? Are you meeting them at their level? Like, are you making the process as transparent as possible? Because to a lot of business owners, finance is not their first language. And so we end up talking to them in jargon or words that don't always resonate with them, or they don't fully understand. And that gets people into dangerous places.
Yeah, I always say, you know, they're very good at their craft. They're a great cook, but they're not interested necessarily in growing it or you know, running the propane that turns on the ovens. You know, that's our job. And I see so many people get frustrated and turn to those online predatory loans. And I, much like yourself, I do a lot of podcast talks, and you know, the one piece that I always say is people tend to look at banks and credit unions as these homogenous institutions where this person gives out money, that other one gives out money, so they're all the same. And as soon as somebody tells them no, or if they get some resistance once or twice, they just back up and, you know, search whatever online and pay 35%. But they got their money in a day, so.
Yeah, and to your point, not all lenders are the same. I think that's a very important message that, like, people need to remember, is that they are not one and the same, that they're going to give you different offerings and different packages. And so you need to find the right one for you.
Yeah, as a credit union, I like to, you know, we're much more that profile of a community bank.
Yeah.
Whereas we can hear a story and have it make sense in our community, versus, you know, if you're have a small business in Manhattan, Chase isn't interested in your story. They're just punching it in, and it's going to come out a yes or no.
Yep. Totally.
But yeah, we can put that in there. When we do a loan, bankers and credit union lenders love to be creative and put all of these covenants and conditions and all sorts of goofy stuff in your loan documents. And the small business owner never cares about it or never reads the documents.
Yeah.
Until the following year.
Yep.
What's that ideal relationship like versus for it, when we need those financials, when we need the tax returns? It's a pain for everybody. What do you advise the lender and the and your small business borrower in keeping up with all of these goofy conditions and covenants that people put out there in their lending relationships?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the word that I would emphasize, and I think sort of answers this question, is the one you used, which is relationship. And so I think if those three parties, so like the lender, the accountant slash CPA, the business owner, if they view that triangle as an actual relationship, then I think that there's a better opportunity for this to be successful. And what I mean by that is when you're taking out the loan, like both the lender, the business owner, the CPA, they need to make sure that everyone understands what the covenants are, what that really means, so that you can sort of set that up in advance. Like what you don't want to have is on any of these occasions, right? You don't want to be the lender, you don't want to be the CPA, you don't want to be the business owner and find out like one day before the covenant's coming up that you have all the stuff that you have to, you know, meet and provide last minute. And so, you know, doing that in advance, like when you're getting ready to sign the loan, understanding what is, if it's a line of credit, what is the renewal process? If it's a loan, like what is it that needs to be provided? When does it need to be provided by? What has to go along with it? That communication builds an actual relationship, and that in turn makes it a much more successful process. Because in that scenario, then I think everyone views it as them having a stake in the relationship, as opposed to it being very one-sided, where only the business owner is concerned about whether or not they get to keep the loan or not. And that's not ideal, in my opinion. So I think if it's viewed as a relationship and everyone sort of upfront sets the precedent for what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, then it's a much easier process and you can plan for it and it becomes way less stressful.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you kind of bring it up that way, especially in today's world. When rates were 3% for a commercial loan, the money was so cheap and it was free flowing, nobody cared. Nobody really was too worried about the covenants and conditions and prepayments penalties. But now, you know, when you're borrowing money at 7-8%+, you should really understand and explain to your borrowers, and the business owners need to understand what they're getting into. Because you've probably seen where somebody wants to refinance their debt and they're locked into an egregious prepayment penalty or have other terms out there which are not good. And I just, you know, we as the lenders have to be responsible for that. But also the business owners, I think, and you as an advisor can push them to make sure, and not just, you know, what's my cheapest interest rate? Because cheapest isn't always the cheapest.
Yeah, you know, it always kind of, I don't want to say surprises me, because very little surprised me at this point in my career. But I would say I when a client comes to me or a business owner comes to me and says and tells me that they've already taken out a line of credit or a loan, it is a bit concerning because I don't know what they don't know about that loan. And so where we have to start with that is, okay, so you took out, how much did you take out? Can I see the agreement? Let's figure out exactly what you've agreed to, because to your point, they don't read the fine print. I mean, that's commonplace in our society, but in this case, they really are not reading the fine print and they don't fully know what they've committed to. And so
ironically, we find that the bigger the loan is, the less people actually read the documents.
I know this isn't like the exact, I remember as an aside, we signed our first mortgage. And I'm sitting there and I'm actually reading the document and I got like a few pages in and the person goes, don't bother reading. It's not going to change. Don't just sign the document. I was like, I don't feel like that's the advice that I should be getting right now. But, you know, nevertheless, like people don't read it. You're right. The bigger the document, the less people want to read it. They just want the money. And I get it, because usually at that point, you need the money probably to some extent. And so like the faster you get it, the faster your problems can go away. But if you're just kicking the can on your problems, that can tends to grow the further you kick it down the road.
What's your favorite client, type of client to work with? What's that one where you're just like, oh, I can't wait to have that ongoing partnership with these people? What gets you excited for your job?
So I would say, you know, the client that we have the most success with, and thus in turn, the ones I love to work with the most, are small businesses that, you know, at least revenue wise, they're a little bit bigger, maybe between 1 and 5 million, where, you know, they are looking to grow and scale. And they're looking to grow and scale because they're looking for the business to sort of do something beyond just the business, right? They don't want a job. They want something that sort of allows them to do something else. And I like those relationships because of what you just said, which is that they view them as actual relationships. I know I've talked a lot about relationships in this call, so I'm going to do it a little bit more. Forgive me. But the best clients are the ones who actually engage with you and who actually are interested in learning and growing and prospering from not just what I have to say as an accountant, but whoever their team members are, marketing, HR, whatever it is, like where they're invested because they've hired this person or this firm to do this for them. Those are the ones that are always the best relationships and that I love working with the most, because they don't view it as some sort of necessary evil. They don't view it as just something that has to be done. They view it as something that can better their situation and help, you know, drive their company into the next level.
Yeah. And that's where sometimes our credit unions, we advise them that nobody wants a loan. Nobody wants a loan. Nobody wants financial statements. What they do is they want to run their business and fulfill their dream and better themselves personally and better their community. They generally will love what they do. And that's why I really, you know, like that niche of that business range that you're working with, because you can have that connection with them. And move, you know, doing a large real estate deal is fine. It pays the bills on my end, but it's not very personally satisfying. I would drive my kids crazy when we would drive around and say, oh, I helped that business. We financed that, and would connect with the community. I think, and you probably can see that same piece too of, boy, these people are helping out, and you know, I was able to be a part of it.
Yeah. One of the things I sort of always sort of start with talking about people when it comes to accounting, and you sort of preface this, is I know that they don't like accounting. Like I get it. Like most business owners will tell you the thing they hate most about their business is the accounting piece or the finance piece. And so the first thing we have to do is get them through that hurdle and make it kind of not suck, if you will, so that like they actually feel like they want to engage in that, so that it can be something beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. So the audience of this, of my show here, is credit union executives, financial service executives. People are on the inside, and sometimes we don't see, we have a different perspective from those on the outside. So I'm going to turn it over to you. And, you know, it's kind of like the Seinfeld Festivus episode of the airing of the grievances.
Yeah.
If you were sitting in front of a bunch of lenders, what would you tell them to do differently or stop doing, or what can we do better?
It's a great question. I love the Festivus reference too, by the way. You know, I think the thing that if there was something that I would say would improve the lending process as much as possible is if you're the lender, understanding who your client is, what their proficiency is in the financial realm, and meeting them at their level, right? So if you really want to have a client who like comes to you and like refers people to you and so forth, the person that's going to do that is the person who felt as though they were heard when they were going through the process. I think oftentimes we talk at people, but we don't actually actively listen when they speak back to us. And so if you're willing to do that and spend a little bit more time in like fostering and building a relationship with the people who come through and are looking for loans or lines of credit, I think what you'll find is that not only are you going to get better loans done and like that are more profitable down the road, but you're also going to in turn get more business referred to you, which to me, I think is sort of the sweet spot, right? You're not only getting the business and keeping the business, which is easier to maintain, doesn't work as, you know, costs less to keep an existing client than to go get a new one. But if your way you're able to get a lot of your business is through referrals, then that's even better, because that's also a really cost-effective way to do this. So I think engaging with the client at their level, understanding how their they're approaching their business and what they're using the money for, and making sure that they feel supported and heard through the process, it goes a long way in increasing the satisfaction on the customer side.
I can't tell you how many loan committees I've sat in on, and a very small, modest business. And somebody says, well, we should probably have put a condition where they have audited financials. And I say, what are you, crazy? Like, well, you know, we have audited financials. They could have audited financials. No, you're going, and that goes right to you're not meeting them at their level with who they are.
Yeah, audited financials is a great one because it sounds really good as a, like when you look at it as a requirement, but the cost to the company to do that is both from a time and dollar perspective is really burdensome. And the value that is actually, I think, gotten from that, I don't mean to talk ill about audits, but like at this level and for this purpose, I don't think you're actually getting a lot in return by having someone give you audited financials.
Yes, we're federally regulated financial institutions. There's public companies, there's large charities, absolutely. Small Business America, no. And, you know, keeping and understanding who this person is and not making it overly burdensome, I think is that's a great point of meeting the business at their level and working with them, as opposed to coming in and trying to crush them with requirements to get the loan or requirements to keep the loan in good standing.
And I understand totally that like there's a process that has to be followed for efficiency and like to make sure that things have to be done. I'm not suggesting that like everything has to be bespoke and tailored to the each individual client. I think more of it is just it's understanding who this person is as a person and actually engaging with them on that level so that you can help them through the process that you have.
Yes. If we're, you know, at the end of the day, if we have trust in that business, if they have good character, if they have a history of managing debt and their business properly, let's move on and move out. But, you know, trying to get every check copy of everything that they've ever done in their life, you know, they're running their small business. They're not running it to get a loan from you. So,
right. Yep.
Well, Nolan, anything else on your mind that you would love to get off for to lenders and tell them how to run their business?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to do that and vent a little bit. I think the audit point is a great one too, but no, I'll let them off at this point.
So how can people, if you're a small business or if the credit unions, they have small businesses, how can they connect with you to get some advice and help them out?
Yeah. So the easiest way is probably, or you need to find us on our website at bradfieldco.com. You can see the services we offer there, and you can also connect with us through our contact form there. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Nolan Bradbury, and reach out and connect with me. And I'm happy to sort of engage with you and see if there's something we can help you, or if you're a lender, some of you have a client who's in need of something better to be able to get the loan you have, we can certainly come in and help them get their finances in a better order, maybe to be able to satisfy your needs.
Nolan, I think it's really important that our lenders understand our industry, but more importantly, that we understand our partners and have good working relationships with them. So that's really why I wanted you to come on today. And I really appreciate your time, as I know you're a busy person this time of the year. So joining me today was Nolan Bradbury of Bradfield Accounting. We'll put his information in the show notes. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you to Nolan. And hopefully at your credit union, you picked up a few tips and tricks. And we'll look at things a little bit differently as we look to help out the small business community. This is Mark Ritter, your host of Credit Union Conversations and CEO of MBFS. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to my guest, Nolan, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Credit Union Conversations podcast. Have a question? Visit markritter.com for more information.